just offer this moment in our gathering to you. I just pray you could use someone like me to inspire brilliant people like these. Lord, do what you can do. Lord, even as I speak, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you just help people to hear what you need them to hear? Lord, but most of all, I want faith to arise in this church. Would you stir our faith, Jesus? Would you cause us to live extraordinary lives, not because we're brilliant, but because you're brilliant? Lord, I just pray that there'll be testimony after testimony coming out of this church because we stopped, we listened, and we acted. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Touch two people, say he's got something for you. You can grab a seat. As I was considering some of the things I want to say in the coming weeks, I stumbled across this picture. We could have it on the screen. And I thought, this is brilliant. There it is. I saw that. Now, that's the title for a message right there, isn't it? No risk, no story. So good. And I just felt stirred by that. And I thought, you know what? Living by faith is exciting, but it's also scary. Yeah. Because who knows? Sometimes God calls to do things and it just doesn't add up. You look there and you think, how on earth? Are you literally joking? How can that happen? But it's when you take the risk, you get the story of God stepping in. Yeah. And it's where it doesn't add up, he makes up the difference, yeah? And you can write your own story, but if you write a God story, it's just a better story. Yeah. Are you with me? So no risk, no story. You know, we've taken the theme of faith this year. So through this year, we'll be talking about faith a lot. Probably the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about other stuff, and then we'll bring it back in. But this is a year where our theme is faith. Faith's fast topic. You start thinking about yourself, you're mature people. As we unpack it, this is my hope. My hope is that you will start to write your own faith story. A story that has to glorify God because it had to be him and not you. Yeah. A story that makes you fall in love with God all over again. Yeah. You know, because you love Jesus, you love the Father because he gave his Son to you, you love the presence of the Holy Spirit. We do that. But it's only when you start living an extraordinary life where you need him to step in, you're like, wow, God, you're awesome. We can drift along in life and plod out and be kind and generous and these kind of things. Or we can be extraordinary. Yeah. And we get a choice to be extraordinary, but extraordinary means God stepping in. Yeah. And sometimes that equals risking it. Yeah. Sometimes that means being brave. Sometimes that means pushing a door that's a bit frightening. It means stepping out where it's a bit frightening. It means doing something, investing somewhere that's a bit frightening. But as you do that, I believe you'll fall in love with God all over again. Yeah. Because he will step in and you'll just be celebrating his goodness. And you know what happens then? You love more outrageously. Because when the Father loves you outrageously, you have to give that away and start loving people more outrageously. And so the whole thing is love God and love people, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus said, boil it down to this, love God and love people. But if we live an outrageous life where we're risking stuff and expecting God to turn up, and when he does, it causes us to love him more, and so we'll love people more. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. So this is going to be an exciting year for you. It's going to be an exciting year for me. It's going to be an exciting year for us. Yeah. But it's going to be based on the choices of faith we're prepared to make. Are you up for it? Touch the person next to you, say, get your faith brave. A good place to start, so much the word says about faith, and my wrestle as I've studied is, you know, I don't want to blurt out everything in one go. I want to give 6 or 7 great messages and drip feed you so you're like, oh, I get that, because there's so much. But let's start here in Romans 10 and verse 17. It says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if we want to get some more faith, where's a great place to start? Hearing. Yeah. It's a great place to start. Can I suggest to you, hearing is different to listening. Yeah. It's not the same thing. Let me give you an example from my life. When I was playing football, we were playing against a very good team. And they had a player who was, they had a player who was their right winger who was very clever dribbler. He was very fast. He was their main threat. And during the first half, he had caused havoc. We'd managed to keep them at 0-0. It was a tough game. But he was the player we had to stop. And so at half-time, and half-time's great, isn't it? Because half-time you can reset, you can move things around a little bit, and God can the manager steps in and does stuff. And he said to one of our players, he said, I want you to make sure you mark their number 7. Wherever he goes, you go. I don't want him getting the ball, because if we stop him, we stop the whole team. It was a good plan. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah. The lad's like, yeah, 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 yeah. He goes out there, 20 minutes into the game. Their players had the ball back 20 times. He's nowhere near him. We were like, what on earth? So he gets the hook. Off he comes, son. You've not listened to what I said. But he did listen, because he was nodding. But he didn't hear, because it didn't get in him. Because when something gets in you, it causes changed behavior. Do you see it? So he did listen, but he didn't hear. And can you see the difference that makes? We all listen. You might be listening to this message, but will you hear it? You can read your word and listen to what it says, but can you hear it? It's something very, very different. Let me play a little game with you. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my family now. So will you listen? In my family, there is my mum and my dad, Terry and Linda, sat at the back. They're awesome. Give them a clap. They had three sons. Barry, the best one. Daniel, the okay one. And Michael, who many of you don't know, but I believe you get to know. There's three of us. We got married. I married a Sarah. Daniel thought that's a good idea, so he married a Sarah. There's two Sarah Robertses in our house. And Michael married Joe. We each have two children, just to keep it even. I've got Josh and Evie. Daniel's got Amy and Jessica. Michael and Joe have got Jaden and Zoe. And they're brilliant. My two have now got long-term boyfriends and girlfriends. And so we've got Noah in the mix. Where's Noah? Where's the whole drums today? So good. And we've got Susie. Susie on the front row. Yeah, round of applause for Susie. And it's our family. And it's great. And loads of stuff's going on. But here's what I want you to do now. I want you to close your eyes, if you will, just for a minute. And I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to promise to take you on holiday. The sermon is getting better. Just picture this for a moment. I'm going to take you on holiday, and on this holiday there's going to be Caribbean Sea. Are you picturing it? There's going to be blue skies. There's going to be colourful fish swimming around your legs as you step out into the sea. It's amazing. I'm going to pay for a private butler, and that butler is going to be there to make us amazing food, whatever you like. You can have whatever drinks you like, whenever you want them. Two of the days, I'm going to take you away for 10 days. Two of the days, I'm going to invite your best friends. Just to make it fun. Not to bring them in to overtake the whole holiday, because that ruins it, doesn't it? But just to see them. You know, just to see them hang out for a couple of days and share the moment together. So we've got these blue skies and these golden sands and these colourful fish and this butler. It's lovely. Your friends are going to come and see you. It's going to be amazing. Can you picture it? Open your eyes. In 3 weeks' time, if I said to you, tell me my family, most of you wouldn't be able to do it. But if I said to you, tell me the essence of the holiday I'm going to take you on, most of you would be able to do it. Yeah. Do you see? Yeah. You listened to both, you heard one. Yeah. Can you see it? Yeah. You're all chuckling to yourself. You're like, oh, it's got me there. It's totally got me. Totally got me. Are you with me? So that's the point. You see, you listen, and you listen both times, but you heard once. And so faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by listening. And the difference is, it gets in you. See, when you hear it, it goes from here to here. It gets in you. I heard Pastor Craig Rochelle speak, and he said the greatest distance on the planet is about 10 inches. It's here to here. Because when something gets from here to here, it changes your world. But it seems to take ages to get there. Are you with me? Yeah. Faith comes by hearing. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says this, for we live by faith and not by sight. Again, classic verse. We all know this kind of stuff. We don't base the way we live. We don't base our action around what we see, the people we see, the climate we see, the attitudes we see. We don't base it around that. We base it on what we hear spiritually. See, when we hear the Lord speak, that should trump everything else that's going on around us, because it gets in our heart. And he's the authority. Amen? Jesus said, I have all authority. Now go and make disciples. He's got all authority over anything you can see. He has it all. So you can look around you and be affected by that and live by what you see. Or you can live by faith, which is like, I'm hearing what God is saying, and that's my direction. And you see the difference. You see, I can arrange that holiday for you. By the way, I know I said I promised, but I'm not taking the whole thing. I was making a point. Clarify that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If I genuinely said, I'm going to take you on that holiday, you look me in the eye and you lot was genuine, you know me. You think, yeah, Pastor, he's a genuine guy. Trust him. Yeah, that's going to be amazing. It would change your behaviour. Do you know what you'd do? You'd go and check your passport was in date. You'd go and book the time off of work. You'd go and buy your creams. Need your creams there? Don't burn anyone. need your creams. You maybe get your suitcase out. You start thinking about what you're going to wear. You know, all the girls are going to go and buy some new summer clothes.
Yeah.
Strappy sandals, sarongs, this kind of stuff. All the guys are going to buy the bikinis. But you prepare. And the reason you prepare is not because of what you can do. It's because of what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to take you. I'm going to pay. I'm going to make it happen. And you've looked me in the eye and you believe me. Can you see? So it changes your behaviour. And so when God says something to you, do you believe him? Because if you do, and you don't just listen and dismiss it, but you hear it, it will change your behaviour. Because you'll say, God's going to do this, so I need to prepare for that. Are you with me? You know, some years ago when I know. Just sometimes there's moments you just know God said. You just know. When you try to describe it to someone, how do you know? You just know. God said to me, Barry, start a church in Colchester. I was like, but I knew. I just knew. So what did I do? I changed my behaviour. I started making phone calls. Will you back me? Do you think this is good? Do you ask questions? And then we took the brave step. We just booked a venue and booked a date and said, here we go. And look at the brilliant church we've got. Growing. Lives being changed. People meeting Jesus. It's amazing. But it changed my behaviour. That's my point. Because I trusted the one who said it. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Living by faith literally changes the course of your life because you act as though what God says is true.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
If God says it to you, you can hang your hat on it. You can hang your life on it. You can live by it because it will shift something. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, what's a good thing to do? Get in the Word of God. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a Connect group, you'll know we've been studying this past couple of weeks the different words, Logos and Rhema. Are you familiar with those two words? If you're not in a Connect group, can I champion you? Try one out. Join in. You'll get to know some people. We're talking about the stuff we're talking about here. It's important. And so Logos really is the basic word. It's the scripture. It's Jesus. It's literally what's in front of you. It's the black and white. And it affects everyone. It's just the truth. Things like, you are the head and not the tail. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
The things like, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Yeah.
Things like, I will open doors that no one can shut. I have good plans for you. I will honour those who honour me. I will restore you. These are truths, Logos truths, straight from the word that affect all of us.
Yeah.
You can hang your hat on those things.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to live my life and God's never going to leave me. I can't guarantee it's always going to be the mountaintop. There'll be some valley moments, but I know this. God's going to be there.
Yeah.
I can trust him because he said so.
Yeah.
And I know this, whether I'm in the valley or not, his plans are good.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to stay in the valley because that's not good. And if it's not good, it's not finished.
Yeah.
So I can hang my hat on this stuff. It's the Logos truth because the word says it,
yeah.
Black and white.
Yeah.
But then there's Rhema. And Rhema is a personal revelation. You know, I love talking to my dad about reading the Word, and he always talks about the Bible like a diamond. It's like you're reading the Bible, and you'll read a verse that you may have read 20 times before, but you just look at it in a different way. It's like when you have a diamond, you turn it, and it catches the light differently, it looks completely different.
Yeah.
And that's the same with the Word, isn't it?
Yeah.
You could read the verse another time in 5 years' time and go, wow, it means something different to me now.
Yeah.
And God just gives you this personal revelation. And that's specifically for you. You know, as you get to hear the voice of God more and you tune in more, I believe he speaks to you in all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
That you might be having a cup of coffee and suddenly you'll have a thought, oh yeah. I don't know about you, but I have to write it down. If ever you're in a conversation with me, I'll get my phone out. I'm not being rude. I've just had a rhema word. You know, I'll wake up in the middle of the night. Sarah will be like, what are you doing? I've had a word. And if I don't write it down, I forget it. I don't want to forget the things God says to me because it changes my life. And so you'll get these things where the Holy Spirit just drops it into you. I remember I was driving in the car and I saw one of those great big banners on the side of the road advertising something. And as I was driving, I looked in and I thought, and suddenly I felt like God spoke to me out of it. And it's just like, well, when you get tuned into the Father's voice, he can speak to you in all kinds of ways. But the best place to start is in the Bible. Get yourself in the Bible. Say to him, I want to understand Logos. I want to understand what he's saying to everyone, but I also want to understand what he's saying to me. Because you're important.
Yeah.
Get your water. Because you're important. And here's the thing. Don't listen to the Logos word. Don't listen to the Rhema word. Hear it. Because if you hear it, it will change your behaviour.
Yeah.
You know, you could be in the valley And I know lots of people in the valley, probably even people in this room are in the valley. There's different ways of going through the valley. But if I genuinely believe God is with me and his plans are good, I can be in the valley and still be happy.
Yes.
They made a program on TV, didn't they? Happy Valley. Sorry, that was terrible. Edit that one. But are you with me? You see, the way I behave is based on my understanding of my Lord. So though I'm down in the dumps, though you know my health might be bad, or my finances might be bad, or my relationships might be bad, or my job prospects are bad, or whatever it might be for you, I still believe God's with me, and I still believe his plans are good.
Yeah.
So it changes my behaviour.
Yeah.
I'm able to go through the valley with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
And people are going, Barry, your life's terrible, but you're still smiling. I go, yeah, but I've got God.
Yeah.
I'd rather be terrible with God than brilliant without God.
Yeah?
So here we go. Let's get this rhema of words. I want to encourage you deep. Say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And, you know, God's not this secret guy who's going to, you know, whisper you something you may or may not hear. When you go to the Father, he wants you to hear.
Yeah.
You know, when I rang my dad up and said, you know, I'm struggling with Josh sleeping, he didn't go, listen, what you should do? And I'm like, what? No, he said, I'm coming round.
Yeah.
And I'll sit with you. That is your heavenly Father. So don't think, oh, Pastor Barry's challenged me to get a rhema word. Oh, no, I've got to work at it. You don't have to work at it. You just have to pause and say, Lord, I want to hear you. Speak to me. It won't be some weird secret. He'll make it clear. And I believe you'll get it. Touch the person next to you and say, tune into the Father's voice.
Tune into the Father's voice.
Here's the thing. If rhema, if it gets from your head into your heart, it changes everything. Because the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
And the Bible also says, there's the power of life and death in the tongue.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is either bringing life to you and others, or bringing death to you and others. Bringing life to your dreams and hopes, and your marriage, and your health, and your children, or bringing death. It's one or the other. But whatever you're saying is coming out of your heart.
Yeah.
So if you get the word of God in your heart, what's going to come out when you speak? Things of the Lord. Will always be good things. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
The word says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
You can tell what's going on in someone's heart just by watching their life for 5 minutes. Because what their heart is displayed in their behaviour. And so wouldn't it be good, church, if we were mature enough to somewhere in our world pause and say, Lord, I need to hear you personally. I need to understand these Logos words, but I want to rhema word. I want a word that's specifically for me. And I don't just want to listen, I want to hear.
Yeah.
And I want to get it in my heart so I act like it, I speak like it, I believe it. It changes everything because my God has said so.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Come on, touch three people and say, let's get our faith stirred up.
Get our faith stirred up.
Here's the thing. Words and actions generate momentum. And they generate momentum in a direction. You are going somewhere. No one in this room is standing still. You're going one way or the other. You're heading somewhere. Backwards, forwards, sideways. You're going somewhere. But my God's got a great plan for you. Your God's got a great plan for you. And if you'll get his word in your heart, you'll start speaking it and living it, and it'll cause a direction. And don't you want to go in the direction where God wants you to go?
Yeah.
You know, we know all the stories of the Israelites who were supposed to be going on a 2-week journey. It took 40 years to get there. Why? Because they weren't hearing. They were listening, but weren't hearing. And it took them ages. Let's not be people who in 10 years' time look around and go, I haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Let's be people who say, I heard from the Lord and it changed my behaviour.
Yeah.
It changed the way I spoke. Yeah. It's changed the direction of my life. But here's the challenge. And here's where we get into some faith. What if the Lord speaks to you? What if what he puts on your heart is contrary to what you're seeing happening around you? You know, everyone's getting sick. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go out and be with the sick. Well, that's likely the natural to make you sick, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what if God called you to do it? Would you say yes or no? What if, you know, in the economic climate, cost of living, people being cautious, God says, I want you to invest all of your savings in something. You're like, oh, hang on a minute. Because in the natural, that's just stupid. But God doesn't worry about the natural. God wants to use his people to confound the natural.
Yeah.
He's the subject to the natural. That's why he could walk on water, because he's not subject to the water. He's the Lord of the water.
Yeah.
So whatever God says to you, if you'll get it in your heart and believe it and act on it, you will win.
Yeah.
He will raise you up, because it'll be outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, the point is this, we can't please God without faith. So if you think, you say to me, Barry, you know, I've got this word, I'm going to do this stuff. And I listen to it and go, well, you could do that by yourself. You know, Barry, I feel like God's called me to go up to Scotland, and I'm going to drive my car up to Scotland, and I've got the money set aside for it, and the driver's going to take me 2 days with a stop or so, I'm going to get up and go to Scotland. When really God, what God said is, I want you to get a helicopter. I want you to go to Scotland, I want you to get a helicopter. You're like, well, that's stupid, I've got a helicopter. But imagine if you believed that, and you start saying, okay, I'm not doing, the car's not an option for me, that's not what God said. It's not an option, I'm not going there. Helicopter, now this is weird and stupid, I've got no money, how could I possibly make that happen? But then you find a few people and go, I feel like God said I've got to get a helicopter to Scotland. And wouldn't it be interesting on conversation number 5, I've got a mate, he's got a helicopter. Oh, okay. Will you speak to him for me? Yeah, he's a great bloke. He'll do it. Comes over. Oh, yeah. Well, it cost you £1,000 to rent my helicopter. Well, I haven't got £1,000. Oh, do you know what? I do one free trip a year. Can you see? Suddenly what was impossible becomes possible. Yeah. And so you could have gone the easy route and done it your way. And God doesn't get the glory for that because you can do that by yourself. But you couldn't have got the helicopter by yourself. But when you said, okay, I'll believe you anyway, and I start talking about it, start living like it, God comes in and does outrageous stuff. You get an outrageous story, he gets glorified, and your friends go, wow, your life's amazing. Can you hear me? I know these are stupid examples, but I want to put language around. Faith's complicated to get. But if we can just put basic examples around it, maybe I could stir faith in yourself and believe for something. Don't leave this place today without something in your heart that's like, Lord, I'm willing, speak to me. Is there an amen somewhere in the house?
Amen.
No risk, no story. It's risky. It's risky. But that's not really risky if you're a person of faith and you know God spoke.
Yeah.
Because God's a man of his word. He'll touch you. And he'll give you a story. And it'll be a good thing. And we've got a testimony thing at the back there. Write it down. We want to hear your story. Are you with me? I want to talk to you about Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute, and everywhere you see Rahab's name in the Bible, it tells you what her career choice was. Rahab the prostitute. Now, I don't think that's God's heart to highlight the fact that she had a career like that. I think it's God's heart to say, look, I can use anyone. She probably thought of herself as terrible. I'm sure no woman deliberately thinks, oh, well, what should I do with my life? Oh, I think I'll be a prostitute. I don't think that's anyone's choice, is it? You know, and I don't even say it as a joke, but it happened today, isn't it? It's horrendous. But here's this prostitute woman who probably feels terrible about herself. And God says, but I used her. So don't ever talk yourself out of thinking God couldn't use me, because yes, he can. Yes, he can. So this is Rahab, and she lived in Jericho. And the backstory is that God has been speaking with Joshua, the commander of the Israelites, the army, and they're going to go and take Jericho. God says, I've given it into your hands. And so Joshua starts making plans. If you were told to go and take a city, what would you do? You know, you get the big boulders in to throw and knock this wall down. You shoot fiery arrows in. I don't know, you do that kind of thing. But what God said to do was just walk around it in silence. Because that's a plan. So what do they do? They say yes. Why? Because they get a rhema word. Yeah. They don't dismiss, they don't listen. He doesn't go to the army and go, well, God's told us to walk around in silence, but clearly that's a stupid idea. Should we do our own thing? No. They listen, they trust the Father.
Yeah.
And so they walk around in silence. And then on the seventh day, he says, I want you to walk around it 7 times now, and then blow your trumpets and cheer. We know the story. Now, we're all sitting here because we know how it ends, but that's stupid.
Yeah.
That's literally stupid. Do you know how thick these walls were? They were so thick that they had houses inbuilt into them, and they had chariot races on the top of them. They were probably as wide as this room. It's not like a 2-brick wall like we build a house out of. These things were massive. And so God says, I want you to walk around it in silence and then blow a trumpet. And they're like, what would you do? You'd be like, I think I might be hearing wrong. But no, they believe. And so they all walked around in silence. Jericho was feared. It was a fortified city. They were well trained. They were big people. They knew what they were doing. No one had defeated them. And they're walking around in silence. That's a step of faith. That is a risk right there. They were seen. And so what happens? They blow the trumpets and the walls fall down all by themselves. That's my God, because he's not subject to the natural. Love what Josh brought into his communion talk there. The supernatural trumps the natural.
Yeah.
So they did what they were called to do in the supernatural, and it trumped the natural. Yeah. And they had a story, but it was risky.
Yeah.
So Rahab is a prostitute who lives in the wall. Her house is in the wall. And so Joshua sends in some spies just to check out the land, see what they're up against. And they think, where's the best place to go where we're not going to be found? Red light district. So they go in there, no one's going to come looking for us here, it's the worst place to go. And they bump into Rahab. And Rahab talks to them. And I want to read you what she says. It's in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Before the spies lay down for the night, she, Rahab, went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. They respond, our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. Can you see the language? They had listened. No, they'd heard. They had heard the great things God had done. And what happened? It caused a reaction in them. They melted in fear. They lost their strength. They lost their courage because God had put something in their hearts because they heard about him. You know, I want to be in a church where God is doing such amazing things that people who aren't in the church are hearing about it.
Yeah.
We want to have such big testimonies, such big outrageous lives, such goodness of God flowing in and around us that people hear and they're like, wow, come on, I need to go and check this place out. It will change their behavior.
Yeah.
People have an opinion about church, but maybe they need to have an opinion about this church.
Yeah.
Because we're people walking in faith.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
That means you and me need to up our game in our faith walk.
Yeah.
And say, Lord, just speak to me and I'm going to say yes. Have you got a yes in your heart? So you can see what's happened. She's heard and it's changed her behavior. She says, I know what's going to happen here. We're melting in fear. Everyone knows that the Lord's going to give us to your hands. We know it. We know it's going to happen. But if I do this thing for you, will you look out for me? That was risky on her part.
Yeah.
It was risky. Because lots of things could have happened. Her governors could have found out she was hiding them and they would have killed her. Risky. She could have spoken to the spies and they could have blatantly lied to her and not done what they said. Risky. She was taking risks, risk of death actually, over her family by doing what she did. But why did she do that? Because she heard. And what she heard changed her behaviour. And it was actually a step of faith, trusting that these men of God would do what they said they were going to do. Are you hearing me? She makes it into the Hebrews book of faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 31. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter on faith if you're looking to study some more. It's a great list of great men and women who did amazing things. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. It was her faith that saved her. Can you see? She took a risk. No risk, no story. But she took a risk based on what she heard. So if we could be men and women who spend time in God's word, who listen and tune into his voice, and we can hear him. When we hear him, there's no risk at all, actually, because he'll always come through. But in the natural, it feels like a risk. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But God is stirring his church up to be risky kind of people. To say, tune into me and take a risk. Rahab ends up in the Hebrews book of faith because she took a risk. Because she heard. And actually, if you follow it through, she's actually in the lineage of Jesus, even though she's a prostitute. God can use anyone. I've just had a sort of weird thought, you know. We know that they walked around the wall. We know they blew the trumpet and the walls fell down. But we also know that Rahab's house was in the walls. I wonder, it doesn't say in the Bible, but I'm just musing, a little bit musing. I wonder if all the walls fell down, there's one little bit stayed up. Rahab's house. How cool would that have been? This is like everything's falling down, and Rahab looks like, oh, it's all going to be wrong out there. Close the door again. Are you with me? I don't know, but all we know is God did what he said he was going to do, and they didn't die. But the walls fell down, which means their house fell down. Or maybe it didn't. Anyway, that's an aside. That's a freebie, I'll give you that. Here's what I want to do. Because I feel like for you to grasp faith and for you to be inspired, we just need to make it very practical. I just want to tell you one of our stories, Sarah and I. And, you know, will you lean in? Will you say, okay, God, I'm hearing these stories. I want my story. Don't live off my faith. Get your own faith. Get your own story. You know, all of us are at different levels. Maybe God might ask you to do something so outrageous, but he might ask you to take a step. He might ask you to have a conversation. He might ask you to push a door. Something for you, which is a stretch. Someone else, it might not be. But we're all on our own journey. We need to celebrate each other's journey. Are you with me? Yeah. Come on, let's be a great church full of faith, willing to take risks for Jesus' glory. So I want to talk to you about my awesome wife. She's a bit special, my wife. And God's positioned us. I don't want platforms, I don't want position. I feel like God's raised us up. And for us, it's not about getting the microphone, it's about living a lifestyle in front of you all. So when you see my son leading communion, when you see my daughter singing and serving today and children, you know, we can't make that up. That's how we live. And I hope blesses you, because we don't call this a job or a position, we call it a lifestyle. Yeah. And it's a calling. And so please cheer us on, please pray for us. You know, we're people too, and we're doing our best. But when I hear your stories, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because it's out of the overflow of what's going on here. So Sarah, all these years, 19 years we've been leading this church, Sarah's back to me. You know, it probably wasn't Sarah's dream to lead a church and start a church. That was their stupid husband's dream. But she's back to me. And she's been there every step of the way, through the thick and the thin, through the tears and the laughter, through the sleepless nights, through everyone's opinion, through it all, she's back to me. But she's got a dream. And she's in a moment right now where she's starting to walk out her dream. And I want to tell you some of it. It's very, very special. At 8 years old, Sarah's mum worked in a beauty salon. And she would take Sarah there occasionally. And at 8 years old, Sarah would go in and smell all the nice smells and hear the nice music and the candles and see the girls in the nice outfits. And it would grab her attention. And she's like, oh, I want to do that. And so something was birthed in her even then. And she took her GCSEs and then she went to the institute and qualified by the time she was 18 in beauty therapy. And she worked in the business for 8 years. After 8 years, she went and got her teaching qualification, and then she went to teach at the Colchester Institute in the beauty departments, where she met Tina. Where's the lovely Tina? Give us a wave. Tina also worked there. So Jenny did too. Love Jenny. Never done with Jenny. Worked there too. So if you've got any beauty issues, we've got lots of beauty therapists in the room. Come on, man, we need to up our game. And she qualified as a teacher. She taught there for several years. And then she went off and learned aesthetics, the injectable things, and worked for a company. And she taught there as well. So she not only does injectables, she teaches it to other people. But all of this has been great. But it's not been her dream. Her dream has always been to own her own business. Not to work hard for everyone else, but to actually be the business owner. It's been something God's put in her. And all along our journey, we've had various prophetic words from people who've never met us before. Some from international places come and pick us out of great crowds and say, God's got something over your life. And it's been a real journey. So we know that something's been growing. We know that Sarah's been interested in having her own beauty business and all these things. And God's just given us little encouragements along the way. And then all of a sudden, Aspects of Beauty in Colchester was advertised about 6 months ago. It went on the market for sale, and Sarah saw it. And based on all the journey that I've just been telling you about, she showed it to me. She said, look, and what you need to know is Aspects of Beauty was the place Sarah first ever worked. It was her first ever job, was at this place, and now it's for sale. So you can't write this stuff, can you? And she said, oh, what do you think? I said, well, you know, I agree with you. And can I tell you, unity's key. Marriage is so important, because the Bible says where two agree on earth, it will be done for you in heaven. And two is marriage. Yeah. So important you agree. So we sat together, and here's me sort of getting all choked up. Oh, well, she's going to do it. I know she's going to smash it. And she's backed me all these years, so I'm going to back her. She's backed me, I'm going to back her. Yeah, come on, I agree. So we've got unity. But then there's the issue. The issue is that the salon is up for sale for a six-figure sum. We've got nothing. We've got diddly squat. We've got probably less than diddly squat. And they were like, well, I don't know what you do with that. But something was birthed in our hearts. Then we did this. We went and we spoke to people in this church who we love and value and love us and are spiritual people. We spoke to people who live away. And some international people said, this is what we're thinking. What do you think? And 100% of them came back and said, we think God's in this. We think God's in this. We think you should do it. So we had confidence. We've got a word. We've got confirmation above around people we love. And so we're like, okay, we've got to make a step. So what would you do? So what Sarah did, because Sarah's got this risky faith, she phones up the owner of the salon and says, can I take you out to dinner? She says, yeah. She takes her to Carluccio's in Phoenix, quite a nice restaurant. Takes her to down there and all. Told her a story, you know, I used to work, oh really, they knew loads of people the same, got chit-chatting like girls do. And she said, I'm interested in buying it. She says, but I don't want to pay what you've got it up for sale for, I want to pay £60,000 less than that. Which straight away is like, hang on a minute, I'm on the back foot. And she said, oh, okay, she wrote some figures down. She went, and she said, there's another thing. I've got no money. And the woman's like, oh, okay. So she says, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to pay £60,000 less than you're advertising it, and I'd like to pay you it over the next 4 years out of the profits of the business. So in effect, you're lending me your money to buy your business. She said, yes. She said, yes. Come on. So she's like, you know, no risk, no story. Take the woman for lunch and ask stupid questions which make no sense in the natural. Who does that but God? Who does that but God? And we're getting a story today because of God. Not because we're brilliant, because he's brilliant. So she agreed to this. And so they go, and Sarah comes back all choked. I can't believe it, God's so amazing. Our faith is just going to start to go through the roof. Yeah. There's another issue. We have to make a down payment of a five-figure sum. We've got no money. Make a down payment. Okay, what do? We start telling people about it. Go to all your rich friends. We've got none of them. We just started praying, okay, God, you know, what do we do? We've got to get this money, and there's a deadline. Now the deadline's creeping forward, and we just didn't know what to do, and we just say, okay, God, it's got to be you, because we ain't got it. And they're the stories that God loves. He loves it when it's got to be him. It's got to be him. Not you could do it. It's got to be him. And so we get this phone call from a guy in a group of Surrey. He said, I've heard you're talking about starting this business, and I'd love to help you in some way. What's the situation? So we were just honest. Transparency is key. Don't hide it. We ain't got any shame, got no money. That's our situation. He's like, okay. He said, I've got a business friend, he's a Christian guy, and he loves to back Christian business. He said, I've just spoken to him. He's going to lend you the money. Wow. And he said, more than this, you don't have to pay him back until you're ready. Whether it takes 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, in your own time, we know starting a business is the beginning of the difficult bit. No time pressure. You pay us back when you've got the money. Better than that, when you pay us back, the money you pay us back with, we're going to build a school in Mozambique.
Come on. Yeah.
So we've gone from this place of having this dream, Sarah has. We've gone from this place of agreement. We've gone this place of checking it out with our friends. We're getting yeses everywhere. We've got no money. We took a risk and had a conversation. We got a yes. We then find a guy who's willing to lend us the down payment with no strings attached and as long as we want. And we're going to build a school with it. I couldn't make this stuff up. But we are living in this right now. Here's the great thing. I was going to bring loads of pictures up, but I thought I was overcooking it. Sarah now owns the business.
Come on.
No risk, no story. But even better than that, now we went through Christmas, new business, all this stuff happening, smashed it out of the park. She doesn't just own a business, she's got the favour of God in her business. It's way more than that. Sarah's a brilliant business lady. She's a brilliant at what she does. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I'm going to say that, but she just is. But more than that, she's got God.
Yeah.
And so January, when every other business is struggling, everyone spends their money at Christmas, doesn't they? Don't they? And then in January, got no money left. we set our targets January, she smashed them as well.
Mm.
So not only has God made a way to buy the business, he's giving her favour to excel in the business.
Yeah.
And I feel proud that it's a woman, actually.
Yeah.
Come on, we need businessmen and women, Christian businessmen and women, but especially women.
Come on.
I want to see people of influence in our sphere going and making a difference. She was already invited to a great business fest at Porsche. We're like, oh my God, we belong here. But it's exciting. So please pray for us. Please pray for Sarah. And we're not doing this because we want to be these wealthy business people. We're doing this because we want to have a God story.
Yeah.
We're doing this because we want to have more money so we can be more generous.
Yeah.
We want to do it so that when Pastor Milan comes next time, we give £1,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's the story we want to have.
Yeah.
So please pray for us. Because at the same time, we're just a couple of goons doing our best. Leading a church, preaching our hearts out, trying to live the life of God in front of you all. But we need you to support us, and we will support you. But here's the thing, no risk, no story. No risk, no story. So, questions. What holds you back? What's stopping you? What's your excuse? Are you hearing? And if you're not hearing, could you start trying to hear? Would you get people around you who you love and trust? If you're not in a connect group, get in one, because you'll find people who you can love and trust to cheer you on as you make bigger and braver decisions. Let's encourage each other. Let's get past the obstacles and let's write some stories of faith.
Yeah.
That glorify God, make you fall in love with him all over again. And maybe just maybe put a little smile on your face that actually our God's flipping awesome.
Yeah.
And he deserves to be loved outrageously.
Yeah.
I'm going to share with you three church faith goals quickly. This year, I'm believing, we will have our own 24/7 building.
Come on.
This has been awesome. We've been here 2 years now. God's grown it here. We've been a blessing to the school, and we continue to be a blessing to the school, even if we go somewhere else. But wouldn't it be awesome to have a hub to serve the community from, to invite the community into, somewhere we're proud of, somewhere we can have mum and toddlers groups, and men's groups, and women's groups, and cooking club, and everything that goes with having a building would be awesome. So pray. If you're a praying person, just pray. God, we don't see it. I'm looking, but I believe it's there somewhere.
Yeah.
Believe for 20 brand new salvations.
Yeah.
20. Not recommitments, because recommitments are awesome. But 20 people who don't know Jesus are going to know Jesus this calendar year.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, I don't know how many churches you've attended. Have they seen 20 in 1 year? But we're going to see 20 this year. We've seen one already, actually. So 19 more to go. So good. So who are you going to invite? Will you play your part? Take a risk. Invite your buddy. Invite that person you've been praying for. Get them in their room. Because God's with us. He's going to do some stuff. 24/7 building. 20 salvations. And the last one, I want to put language around it like this. Everyday miracles.
Yeah.
You know, I want to come to church to see and experience a miracle. But I want to see you experience miracles in your own world, in your workplace, in the place of education, down the pub, at the gym, walking in the park, chatting to your neighbour. And wouldn't it be amazing if you chat to your neighbour, she says, or he says, I've got something wrong with me, and you just take a risk. Could I pray for you? Well, okay. What have you got to lose? Just imagine. Get it in your heart. In Jesus' name be healed, and they actually are. Everyday miracles. Maybe you'll start pushing doors in your world and you'll generate a story like we're generating a story just every day. Yes, in church when we gather, let's believe for miracles. But also everywhere you go. And you've got to write them down somewhere. So we've got a testimony. So please do that. Are you with me on all those things? Can I invite you to stand up? Let's pray some of this stuff in. Come on, let me invite you to close your eyes. Let's take a moment with our Father. Thank you, Lord. Church, you need to know that you're not just a number, a bum on a seat, someone in this building. You're an amazing child of God. He loves you. I believe there's people in this room right now who don't really know Jesus, but you need to know this. You might not know him, but he knows you. He loves you. Before you'd ever heard of him, thought of him, considered him, he died on a cross for you to lift your life up, to give you hope for eternity, to bring healing and hope to your life right now. ask that every amazing person, even right now, will begin to hear from you. I ask, Holy Spirit, as only you can, you begin to stir faith in this room. Faith to step out, take a risk, write a story that has to be you.
Amen.
Let's give Paul.